It costs around $1 billion to build a hospital. So instead, so imagine building a hospital, paying for it. It's all new, brand new glass doors, all the stretchers and stuff, new paint. But instead of moving in the patients and the doctors and the nurses, we just burn it down. Burn it down every single month. That's what you're paying on interest on the debt in Ontario every month. Okay. We are the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. This is a special show called Out of Ottawa, because of course, we know they like to waste your money and tax you to death in Ottawa, but unfortunately, that happens at the provincial level too, which is why I am joined by three of my friends and colleagues, Carson Binda, he's out there on the West Coast, BC Director for the CTF, Gage Halbrick, he is our Prairie Director, holding down the fort. And Noah Jarvis, he's actually from just outside of Toronto. He's our Ontario Director, and he is actually living in Ottawa now, in Mordor, and he gets to listen to Franco every single day.
I'm a quintessential Laurentian elite.
Don't know if you fit the mold, Noah. We are so happy to have you on the team. All right, I wanted to start off with a little note in your neck of the woods, unfortunately, right now there, Noah, of federal waste. Stop me if you've heard this one before. The federal government is planning on blowing up to $8 million on an outdoor skating rink. Yeah.
Jeez.
Again. Again with the outdoor skating rinks. So real quick, we're going to be covering this later on this week. But suffice to say, Blacklock's reporter, outstanding independent journalism website, they dug this up. So the feds are planning on spending upwards of $8 million for an outdoor skating rink at Rideau Hall. Yes, outside of the Governor General's residence. Get this, folks. They've already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on refrigeration units for the fake ice. And they're planning on putting some sort of fancy roof on it to protect the ice from climate change. I'm not joking. Ice. Okay. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's such a stupid waste of money, and it's also a repeat. Like, their waste is on rerun now in Ottawa. Because, remember, on Parliament Hill a few years ago, they blew $8 million. We gave it a Teddy Waste Award. They built an outdoor skating rink on Parliament Hill for $8 million, and you can see the Rideau Canal from there. The Rideau Canal is the world's longest skating rink. It's the dumbest waste of money. So, folks, I just wanted to lead off with that. But unfortunately, we waste a ton of money at the provincial level, too. And we're in serious debt. I'm looking at all of you. All of our provinces are in debt, right? Yeah, unfortunately. It's dumb. So, speaking of dumb waste, Carson, you've got, I'm sorry for laughing, but you've got one of the funniest waste stories with these wood leather soccer balls, but now you've actually got more data, like there's more numbers attached to these dumb things. What's your latest on this?
Yeah, so just very quickly to remind our listeners and viewers, a few months ago, Premier David Eby and Agriculture Minister Lana Popham flew to Japan to the Osaka Expo and posed with these youth-sized wood leather soccer ball things. David Eby tweeted about it or posted on X, and it blew up. People were making all sorts of jokes about these wood leather soccer balls, because it's so bizarre, right? Wood leather soccer balls. So we filed a Freedom of Information request with the Ministry of Forests to ask how much they spent developing and manufacturing these wood leather soccer balls. Now, we talked about this on the show before because the Ministry of Forests, they wouldn't give the records to us. So right now, Devin, our legal eagle here at the CTF team, is still fighting away with the Information Commissioner to get the records from the Ministry of Forests. But in the meantime, I figured I'd ask the Ministry of Sports if they had anything. And Chris, what we found is going to blow your mind. Are you ready for this? In total, Premier David Eby spent $190,000 on these three wood leather soccer balls. You heard that right. $190,000 for these three soccer balls. When you do the math and divide it out, that works out to roughly $63,000 per soccer ball. So I think someone needs to get the Guinness World Record Committee on the phone, because David Eby must have set the record for the most expensive soccer balls in history. Here's how that $190,000 breaks out. So the Ministry of Forests sent $134,000 to the University of British Columbia, my alma mater, to develop wood leather. Now, wood leather is this synthetic leather base or leather alternative made from wood fibers, wood veneer that they grind down, reconstitute into this wood leather. Ministry of Forests, $134,000 to develop this. The Ministry of Sports then spent $55,000 to turn this sheet of wood leather into three youth-sized wood leather soccer balls. So, I mean, in the scale of government waste, this is one of those stories that just takes the cake. Not only did they drag out government and taxpayer resources fighting with us about releasing these records, but when we got them, it shows probably the dumbest waste I've ever seen from this provincial government. Now, Chris, if this couldn't get any weirder, this story...
This is pretty weird.
Just hang on.
Yeah.
But just hang on, because it gets even weirder. So, David Eby and Agriculture Minister Lana Popham then took these wood leather soccer balls, hopped on an airplane, and flew to Japan, where they posed with these wood leather soccer balls. Eby billed taxpayers about $7,600 for his flights to the photo op. Lana Popham billed us $7,700 for her flights to Japan for this photo op. We don't have EB's hotel bill yet. It hasn't been proactively disclosed yet. I assume it'll be in the next batch of proactive disclosures. Minister Popham's receipts were there. She was billing us $1,000 for a stay at the Hilton Osaka, a 5-star luxury hotel, when she flew to Japan for this photo op. So look, when normal British Columbians are struggling to get ahead, when our province is being buried by $155 billion worth of debt and crushed by $5.2 billion a year worth of interest charges, it is unacceptable for our politicians to be borrowing money to develop these $63,000 soccer balls and then flying around the world to pose in a photo op with them. Now, Chris, I've got just one more little bit of flavor, a little bit of spice.
Because, like, this is already so bad, Carson. Yeah. Like, you guys need to win a Teddy. Sorry, go ahead, man.
I agree. And trust me, I'm going to be fighting for this one at our annual Teddy's debate. Richard Zussman, a talented journalist formerly of Global News, decided to follow up with the company that was providing the wood products to UBC to be used in this wood leather manufacturing. Do you know what the company said? The company said that it's going out of business because the BC NDP's forestry policy makes it impossible for value-added forestry companies to exist in BC. So David Eby spent $190,000 on these three soccer balls, spent thousands more flying to Japan to pose with them, only for the company that provided the wood products to be going out of business because this government is strangling our forestry sector. Mills are closing down left, right, and center. The company that provided the wood products for this project going under, according to the owner of the company, because of this government's red tape and regulations. So this story just, it shows what we're dealing with in British Columbia. Our politicians are in la-la land, while folks are being laid off, while families are struggling, and food bank lines just keep growing.
That's insane. Goodness, Carson. Like,
Chris, can I stop you there for 1 second?
Give her Gage. I'm kind of speechless, actually. That's unbelievable. Go ahead, Gage.
So, Carson, it's obviously ridiculous. And I don't think there's any defense the government could offer to make this make sense. But to give them a shot, what was the point of these soccer balls? What was there a point?
Not as far as we can tell. So David Eby seems to be trying to position this as some kind of environmentally friendly alternative to leather soccer balls. Well, I've got some bad news for Premier David Eby. FIFA, the international body that governs soccer, hasn't approved leather soccer balls since I think the 1980s. So this is finding a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. At the end of the day, this was an expensive photo op that cost British Columbians hundreds of thousands of dollars for absolutely nothing. And it's worth noting that while Premier David Eby was in Osaka posing with these wood leather soccer balls, every other premier in the country and Mark Carney were in Saskatoon at a first minister's meeting where they were discussing major projects across Canada. Now we have David Eby saying he wasn't consulted on various major project proposals. Well, Mr. Premier, you skipped the meeting to pose with your leather soccer balls in Japan. That's not on anyone but yourself.
The story
we
never ceases
to amaze.
We should have a contest
where we all take a shot and drink every time Carson says wood leather soccer balls. Yeah. Because we'd all be loaded. Yeah, go ahead, Noah.
Alcohol poisoning right there.
What were you going to say, Noah?
Yeah, I was just saying, like, the story never ceases to amaze. I mean, $55,000 just to make 3 youth-sized soccer balls. Imagine if they'd gone all out with the adult-sized soccer balls. You know, like, I'm pretty sure it must be cheaper to make a ball out of pure gold rather than, you know, out of this wood leather that clearly costs thousands of dollars just to make one ball. And the cherry on top is, hey, the BC government says, hey, we want you to give us the material to make this wood leather soccer ball product thing. And then we're also going to regulate you out of business as just, you know, a big middle finger to you at the end. So, I mean, Carson, you've done amazing work taking this all up, but probably one of the most ridiculous stories of the year.
Yeah, it's right up there.
If I can just give some credit to our supporters, to the tax fighters around the country who contribute to the CTF, this only came about because we filed Freedom of Information requests, which cost money. They cost both money to file. There's other expenses associated with them. This only came to light. British Columbians only saw this on their TVs and in their newspapers because of tax fighters like you listening who pitched in. So for the folks at home, thank you for allowing us to bring this story to light and shed some light on the outrageous waste that's going on here in British Columbia.
And I have to stress, folks, it's so hard to forget sometimes, but they're all in debt. Like, all of the provinces right now, they have unmoney. Every time they blow money on stupid things like wood leather soccer balls, I can't believe I'm saying that sentence out loud. Every time they do that, they're borrowing money to do it. This is money wasted plus interest. Like, what's your debt right now, or what at least are they paying you? Did you say $5 billion a year in interest payments, Carson, British Columbians?
Yeah, so our province is borrowing about $60 million per day. And just like with your family credit card, big borrowing today means really big interest charges tomorrow. The interest is costing us about $5.3 billion this year. That works out to roughly $930 per British Columbian. So $930 of your provincial tax bill is going straight to the bond fund managers on Bay Street and Wall Street. It's leaving the province. It's money that's not going to core services. That's a huge issue.
Yeah, which is why I wanted to transition to debt. Because all the money that Carson just talked about there on that ridiculous waste there in BC, all that money, okay, is helping to increase the terrible situation of debt. And unfortunately, all of our provinces on this call, that includes Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario, are all in serious debt crises. Gage, I wanted to go to you. You're in rectangle land, which is usually the place of sanity and common sense. Thanks so much. But unfortunately, you guys are in debt right now, too. And right now, I think I can speak for all of us, roughly. Each government of our provinces has an open consultation right now because they're busy putting their budgets together. And this is where you, dear listener and dear viewer, come in. Now is the time for you to pick up the phone, send that email, make a phone call, and most importantly, fill out these government debt surveys. Because promise you, they've got a ton of special interest groups right now that are breathing down their necks, saying, government, give me more, more, more. Give me more of taxpayers' money. And it's up to us as tax fighters to say, no, how about you don't? So Gage, what's your situation there right now in Saskatchewan when it comes to debt? And are you guys in the middle of budget building right now?
Yeah, so Saskatchewan government really likes to tout numbers, some numbers. I like to say that they have one of the lowest debt to GDP ratios in the country. I like to say they have one of the best credit ratings in the country. Well, what taxpayers say to that is that doesn't make sense because you're bragging about being the most sober person in the drunk tank, right? If all of your coworkers blow their entire bonus on a new truck and are eating rice for the next 3 weeks, that doesn't make it within a good decision for you to do it yourself. And that's the problem we have in Saskatchewan, is the debt isn't nearly as bad as some other provinces, but it's getting worse fast. So since 2017, right around the time that Scott Moe became premier, the Saskatchewan government has doubled its debt this year, increased by 136% since 2017. Now, the government doesn't want taxpayers to know those numbers, but those are the real numbers. And the same thing's happened with debt interest payments. They've doubled since 2017. Now it's about $880 million a year, costing every single taxpayer about $695. So Saskatchewan is doing less worse than other provinces, but it's definitely not doing good.
And so should people then, do you know if the consultation's open? Sorry to quiz you right now. I know people can always email their MLA, but are they in the middle of budget consultations right now? Is now a good time for people to pick up the horn and say, hey, no mo debt? Get it?
Yeah. Sorry. So, I mean, this is getting no mo debt. I mean, that's the way to think about it. It's been doubled since you came in, so it's a good chunk. And to clarify, only about half of that was during the pandemic. They decided to keep borrowing before and after. So that's not an excuse the government can use either. It's all handily chucked out in this wonderful Saskatchewan debt report that we talked about today.
I think I know who wrote that amazing Saskatchewan debt report. Gage?
I think you might just seem to know what he's doing a little bit on this stuff. But unfortunately, the Saskatchewan government doesn't actually usually have a formal budget consultation process. So the best thing that taxpayers can do is just send that email to their local MLA, to the finance minister, and then let them know that they want to see the government actually balance the budget, have debt actually go down, instead of just parroting some lines that make them seem like they're doing a lot better than they are.
Let's just bully them right now. Hey, Saskatchewan, you guys should have an open survey portal with a debt consultation process that we can all answer. Why aren't you? I'm just going to bully them directly. Noah, what's your situation there? You are in Ontario, and a lot of people joke online, say Ontario, O-W-E. You guys are in a serious debt situation there right now, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we're more of in a position of a death by a thousand cuts where I believe Premier Eby has just been turning on the debt machine and it hasn't stopped since 2018, 2019. But here in Ontario, the story of our ever-increasing debt is one that goes back about 20 years. Ever since 2006, 2007 fiscal year, Ontario has tripled or nearly tripled its debt. It's gone from 154 $1.34 billion to $459 billion in about 20 years, which is a monumental increase. And we're seeing the results of the tripling of our debt in just 20 years, where debt interest charges were about $12,300 per $12 billion.
Too high.
Yeah, it was a little.
That's
quite
too
high.
Yeah, it's too much money.
Debt interest charges have nearly doubled over the past 20 years. Debt per person has gone up about 125%. So we're seeing that the Ontarians are facing an ever-increasing debt burden. And we recently commissioned a poll from our good friends at Léger, who give us some great results. They found that 75% of Ontarians are concerned with our debt interest charges, which this year they're at $16.2 billion, which works out to be about $1.35 billion every month. 75% of Ontarians say they are concerned about this issue. So overwhelmingly, Ontarians, they want to see debt interest charges come down. They don't want to be paying thousands of dollars worth of their sales taxes and their income taxes going towards bondholders on Bay Street. They want that money to actually go towards tax cuts and go toward funding the core services that Ontarians rely on, like in healthcare and education. But instead, we have governments who have continued to pile on debt, continue to overspend, and not be tactful in cutting government waste, therefore leading to this tripling of our debt under liberal and conservative governments. The two parties, they like to point fingers at one another, but this ever-increasing rise in our debt was highlighted in our 2025 Ontario Debt Report, which I don't have handy with me. Gage came more prepared with the props today, but it is all outlined there, and you could check it out.
I think Gage sleeps with it under his pillow, like he just cuddles it at night because of all the work that he put into that one.
I've got copies of every report. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What?
I was going to say, I think I've probably got a paper copy of every report I've ever written back there in a folder somewhere. I'm just an old man.
I love
that.
I bet you it's in like chronological order too. Yeah, mine aren't. Noah, sorry to quiz you, but what did you say it is per month?
The debt interest charges per month are $1.35 billion. I know you guys come from provinces where that number seems astronomical, but that's just a yearly fact of life here in the province known as Ontario. So we're really swimming in the debt in this province, and it doesn't seem as if this is a recent thing. Actually, it's been going on for 20 plus years now in this province.
You know, I lived in Ontario for a long time because I worked on Parliament Hill for a long time, largely as a journalist with the press gallery. And I remember back when it was Dalton McGuinty, who was the Ontario Premier, and then Kathleen Wynne, who's the Ontario Premier, and people were freaking out, not just about hydro costs, which was a big deal, but also about spending and debt, debt, debt. So I remember full well when Premier Ford talked about being better with money. And yet you're still telling me that you guys are paying more than $1 billion a month on debt interest?
Absolutely. Premier Ford, if you recall, in 2018, he was appalled by Kathleen Wynne's government's 2018 budget, which estimated about a $14 billion deficit. Now, through different changes in the estimates, it ended up being $8 billion deficit. But this year, the Ford government is running a $14.6 billion deficit. So the same thing that he was so appalled about back in 2018 when it was under the Liberal Party. Party's governance, he is all openly promoting and supporting. He says that this budget is generational and it is the thing that's going to protect Ontario. Well, last time I checked, adding $31.6 billion to the provincial debt this year isn't actually protecting the province. It is further burdening the future generation of Ontarians with an unsustainable amount of debt.
$1 billion a month, folks, more than $1 billion. Okay. Just to put that into perspective, it costs around $1 billion to build a hospital. So instead, so imagine building a hospital, paying for it. Okay. $1.3 billion or whatever Noah said there. It's all new, brand new glass doors, all the stretchers and stuff, new paint. But instead of moving in the patients and the doctors and the nurses, we just burn it down every single month. That's what you're paying on interest on the debt in Ontario every month. Okay, so very quickly, here in the province of Alberta, unfortunately, the government is planning on adding more than $6 billion to the debt. Our debt is already more than $80 billion, with a B. What gets me is that for 2027, so about a year and a half fiscal into the future, the government of Alberta is planning on the debt being more than $90 billion. It's costing us about $3 billion a year in taxpayers' money just on the debt interest. In fact, I just got an email because we'd send out an update for people to, you know, make sure to tell Premier Smith to fight the debt. I just got an email from a supporter saying, are you sure that it's $3 billion a year? Yeah, unfortunately it is. And I have to make this clear. This is like an invoice, okay? It's a line item in the budget that we all pay. This is not some wizardry, economics, fungible, blah, 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 differential, right, Gage? I'm looking at you with your econ degree. This is something we pay every year.
No, I mean, like, it's ridiculous. And that's the problem with all these governments, right? They're talking about, oh, we need to spend more on this or that, but fail to account for how much their borrowing is increasing those debt interest payments. You know, in Saskatchewan, for example, debt interest costs more than five or six different ministries when we look at the government, right? So if the government didn't have the debt, it would have so much more money to spend on these types of things. When instead, every government around this table on this Zoom call has decided that it's better to kick the can down the road, borrow more, stick taxpayers with higher debt interest costs. And the government can only do that for so long, because that's the important part about this, I think, for taxpayers overall. If the debt sounds like some nebulous thing, oh, doesn't the government have to deal with that? That's not me. But when the government increases the debt so much, sorry, Carson, I'll get to you in a second. When the government increases the debt so much, right, it gets to the number where they don't have enough money to spend on other things because they're wasting so much on debt interest. So where does the government go looking for more money? They go looking in taxpayer pockets.
Yeah.
Give her, Carson.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry, guys. This gets me fired up. And it gets me so fired up because in Saskatchewan, where you are, Gage, you've been down this road before. Mm-hmm. The Grant Devine government in the late 1980s racked up huge amounts of debt, tremendous amounts of debt. And that debt interest kept eating a bigger and bigger and bigger chunk of Saskatchewan's budget. You know what they had to do in the 90s when a new government came into power? They had to close down about half of Saskatchewan's hospitals. 52 rural hospitals they had to shutter because the debt interest was costing so much money that they couldn't afford to keep them open. So come on, Saskatchewan, you've been down this path before. You know how bad it can get when the politicians waste too much money on debt interest. Premier Mo, smarten up.
Yeah. We had a similar story in Ontario back in the 1990s where our one NDP government in the history of Ontario under Premier Bob Rae came in and just basically doubled the debt. And we had to elect a government under Mike Harris who had to make a significant spending cuts. We didn't have to shut down half of the hospitals here in Ontario. I think pretty much the entire population would have rioted. But at the same time, the government had to make these significant spending cuts, and they put Ontario on the right track going into the 2000s. They helped to basically stop the growth in Ontario's debt. They helped to bring down debt interest charges as a share of the total budget and really put Ontario on the right track going for the next 10 years until around 06-07, where just spending continued to outpace the amount of revenue they were bringing in. And now we're seeing the same consequence as we did back in the 80s and 90s, where debt interest charges are currently about 7% of Ontario's total budget. The total spending, where is basically like 7% of it is being thrown down a black hole, and that share of the budget is set to increase in future years. The number one fastest growing expense in the Ontario budget is debt interest charges. The Financial Accountability Office estimates that it's going to grow by 6.1% annually until at least 2030, faster than on healthcare, faster than spending on education, faster than spending on any other line item in the budget. That's going to make a we're going to be spending more money on debt interest charges as years go on, and we're going to end up back in a situation as we were in the 80s and 90s. And Premier Ford, unfortunately, hasn't learned that lesson yet. He hasn't learned or he unlearned what he knew back in 2018, whereas if you continue spending, if you continue adding to our debt, we're going to end up in some precarious financial situations going forward in the future.
Noah, do they have the budget consultations happening right now? Should people, email or phone their MPP, which is the Ontario version of an MLA?
Absolutely. 2026 budget consultations are open. All you have to do online is look up 2026 Ontario budget consultations, and that is the one of the first links should be there, and you can fill out a survey. It's about 8 or 9 questions. It only takes a few minutes of your day, and it has a massive effect. And if we get hundreds, thousands of taxpayers to fill out that survey, to let their intentions be clear to the government that they want taxes to come down, they want the government to tackle its spending problem and to stop adding to the debt, to begin paying down our debt and bring down those debt interest charges going forward. I mean, look, these consultations, as they are at the federal level or in different provinces, they are biased towards telling the government to spend more of our money. That is clear. But you have to try and do your best in answering these questions where you can, in the multiple choice, tell the government to cut tax. And if you're in the message boxes that you're able to fill out, let the government know that you want them to cut its spending, to begin paying down its debt, so that we can actually deliver some substantial tax cuts for struggling taxpayers here in this province.
Carson, are you guys open right now for budget consultations, or is it just email your MLA time?
Yeah, it's definitely email your MLA time. Now, BC has one of the most ridiculous budget consultation processes in the country,
hands down. I remember.
Yeah, they close it in like May. So new budget comes out March, April. Then the budget consultation for 10 months from then closes in May, June. It's bizarre. No one knows how to find it, which is exactly what the government wants. You need to create an account with the government's online software and do all this mumbo jumbo. So folks, at this point, email your MLA, email the finance minister, tell them to stop borrowing money and stop wasting so much money.
You know, I will say, I've noticed that retro things are in again, vintage things are in again. You kids seem to like, you know, watching shows that are based on the 80s and 90s. We need to make fighting the debt cool again. That's what we need. I hear a lot of people talking about the good old days of the common sense revolution under Mike Harris. I hear a lot of people here in Alberta talking about the late, great Premier Ralph Klein, when he held up the sign in 2004 saying paid in full for the debt. I know our premier right now, Premier Danielle Smith, is a huge fan of the late Premier Klein. We have to make fighting the debt cool again. And it's up to all of us, okay, as tax fighters. We have got to be the change we want to see in the world. So what y'all should do is do exactly what these gentlemen all just said. Email your MLA. Email your MPP, fill out that budget consultation survey, phone into talk radio, write a letter to the editor. In fact, call your local MLA or your MPP's office and tell them how important fighting the debt is to you. And here's a little insider tip. Tell them you feel so strongly about this that you will door knock about this issue in their riding with 10 friends in the next election. I promise you. You'll get their full attention then. In the meantime, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com, sign the petitions that speak to you, and you'll be part of the tax fighter army. And could you do us a favor? Could you spread this message around your circle? The best way to do that is to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, and share with people who need to know.